For the rest of you, you can open up to Luke chapter 2. We're going to look at one verse today, and it's going to be verse 14. So just kind of camp there, and we're going to be there. So the last few weeks, we've looked at the need for Advent. And last week, we looked at the promise of Advent. And this week, we're going to look at the announcement of Advent. You know, throughout history, there's been a lot of songs that have kind of been songs that have been incredibly influential for maybe our country and what's going on there. And some have even become a theme song for a movement that's been happening in our country. Sam Cooke, back in 1964, wrote a song, A Change Is Gonna Come, which is kind of was in support of the civil rights movement of that time. And it was just kind of known in that movement. It was a little bit of a theme song for that movement. John Lennon wrote the song Imagine back in 1971 to promote world peace. And basically, it was incredibly influential at that time when he wrote that song, and it kind of became a theme song for people who are positioning for world peace. But by far, the most important song ever, which was accompanied by the greatest announcement ever, and it contained basically what God was needing to tell us, what was happening in that moment with the birth of a child. And I want you to think with me about how familiar this hymn is that we sing throughout the Christmas season. And it's in Luke chapter 2, verse 14. It says, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth among those with whom he is pleased." The phrase is said by many, right? We hear this throughout the Christmas season. But I wonder, the amount of people who may say that verse or sing that song, how many of them truly know what this means? I mean, I wonder how many of us truly know what this is telling us in Scripture. There's something about things that are familiar that kind of lose interest to us, or it kind of makes our brains and our hearts go monotone for a little bit when we hear these things over and over and over again. Sometimes when things become so familiar, we quit questioning, we quit considering, we quit thinking on these things. And so today I want us to look at this with new eyes, and I want us to consider what this verse is actually telling us. And I have these feelings with words like more times than not that this is misunderstood. And yes, this is a hymn in celebration. This is a song of celebration about the birth of Christ. But it was also about what the Messiah is promising us. And these words also define the mission of Jesus and what he came to do. And so since they tell us our need and his mission, that these words don't only predict, just announce a birth, but they also predict a death and what's coming. So these words really do capture our need. Glory and peace are the two principal words in this passage, in this song. And so glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased. I don't know if you've noticed this, but us and our world is really glory focused, right? It's all about us getting attention to ourselves. I mean, that's half of social media, right? It's all about bringing attention to yourself. It's all about you getting glory for something you did, you know, or you getting your kids glory for something they did. You know, they took a step. It's all over social media, and everybody's praising them. It's like, well, every kid in the world has done that too, you know? And so, but I know it's a big deal for your kid and stuff like that. But listen, you were created so that your motivation would be God praise, right? That would be our motivation, that we would no longer seek glory for ourselves, but we would seek the glory of God. We were created to have that upward focus, right? We weren't created to have a me focus. Now we know that creation was designed to remind us of God and to point us all to the glory of God. It reminds us again and again that God must be at the center of our existence. He must be at the center of everything that we do in life. You know, whether it is frigid cold outside, or maybe a bird is singing a beautiful song out your window, or maybe it's the color of the fall leaves, or the brightness of the morning sun, or the darkness in the middle of the night, all of those things were meant to bring glory to God, or to remind you of his glory, right? Like, those things are just to remind us how great and how majestic God is. Now, that was the way it was meant to happen, right? But the sad moment in rebellion is that when Adam and Eve chose to sin, that they chose the glory of the creation and not the glory of the Creator. They wanted something in the creation more than they wanted God. They wanted something to be like God. And ever since that horrible moment, our hearts have just been in glory confusion. We've had a glory war in our hearts ever since that moment. And so we don't always live for the glory of God. We just don't. The other glories compete for our heart, and we always want the glory for ourselves. At some point this week, you were probably in traffic, because you can't drive anywhere in Raleigh without being in some type of traffic in one way or the other. I have a feeling that when you were in traffic this week, your first thought was probably not on the glory of God in that moment, right? Like, I'm just going to be honest with you. Like, it wasn't my first thought either, right? You're sitting in traffic, and you're like, why in the world are they going down from three lanes to one lane, and why are they doing this road construction during a time where traffic is the heaviest? Like, why in the world are they choosing to do this? Isn't DOT smarter than this? Why can't we have times? Like, I've seen them do work at 2 o'clock in the morning just so traffic's not as heavy. Why can't we always do that, you know? And so those are my thoughts when I'm in traffic, right? Or what in the world is, like, why are these people going 400 miles an hour? Like, do they really have to go that somewhere that fast? And the answer is no. They do not have to go somewhere that fast. But those are my thoughts in traffic, you know. I'm not thinking about how this traffic is reminding me how I need to be patient on the Lord, and how his my patience and how his goodness, that he is in control of all these situations. I'm just not thinking through that much, you know. So many times we are just not glory focused on God. We look at everything and we think of how it can glorify us and not how it glorifies God. Just think about sin. Materialism replaces the glory of God with the possession of physical things. You know, pride chooses to live more for self-glory than for the glory of God. We're all glory confused. All of our sin is really a shift of glory from one to another. We are all in some way glory thieves in our life. And there are times probably this week where the glory of some object or some achievement has replaced the glory of God in your life and became more precious to you. And you convinced yourself that you couldn't really live without that thing, right? And so that's what happens in your life. That's what happens in my life, that we become more dictated by the worship of what was created than the worship of the one who actually created those things. And so when you live like this, it will never lead to a heart at rest. It won't lead to inner peace. It never leads to a satisfaction that will actually fulfill, because you were not designed to do that, and those things were not designed to fulfill you. Glory to God in the highest. Just imagine a world that actually takes place, right? To where God's glory was at the highest part, a part of everybody's life. That every heart in every situation was ruled by the glory of God, that they chose to seek God's glory more than their own glory. And that is how God designed all of us to live. All of us were designed to live for God's glory. That is what the essence of being human is that we were designed for his glory. The second word that we see there is peace. Peace among those whom he is pleased. And so we were created to be at peace with God. We were created so important that the most important thing in our life was our relationship with God. And so you see, our relationship with God was designed to be that thing that was most important, and we were to have peace in that relationship. And that peace with God would then in turn allow us to have peace from within, and then in turn to have peace. Joe, we got one more back there. And then to have peace with those around us. And so we would not be at peace because we're strong or because we were wise or because we just are good at what we do. We have peace because of the relationship with the one who rules everything. And so even though we do not know all that we need to know, or we can't predict what's going on next, we have peace because we're in a relationship with the one who does know all those things. But when our peace with God was shattered in the garden, the result with that is that our peace got broken. We're not at rest. There is a really bad moment in the garden where God comes down in the cool of day to walk and talk with Adam and Eve. But it was after Adam and Eve had sinned, after they had taken the fruit and ate of the fruit. Now, typically on a normal day, God would do this, and Adam and Eve were excited for God to come to them, right? They were in perfect peace with God, and so they were excited. When God came to them, they walked right up next to them and was like, hey, let's walk and talk. They loved the fellowship. They loved the community that they had with God, right? Well, on this day, God started to walk through the garden, but they didn't run to him. What did they do? They hid from him because sin broke the peace that they had with God, right? They no longer had a peaceful relationship with God. Their relationship was broken. They were no longer friends with God, but now they were enemies of God because of their sin. In the Old Testament, we see the word shalom a lot, right? Which means peace, ultimately. But it means much more than just peace, you know? Like we say peace, and it can mean a lot of different things. And here's what this word peace really means. It's a picture that all things in the world are working the way that they're designed to work, all right? So it's just not an absence of conflict. It pictures all things in the world are working the way that they're designed to work, all right? Peace with God, shalom means that we have peace on the inside. But the reality is that we don't have that. We all have anxiety. We all have anger. We all have frustration, discouragement that's in our hearts. We struggle to have rest in our life. And have you ever had those sleepless nights where your mind is just a catalog of the what ifs in your life? It's just like, what if I had done it this way? Or what if I have made this choice? Or what if I hadn't have done that? See, that just shows you that we just don't have peace within, right? That you're not laying your head on your pillow in peace. You're laying your head on your pillow in turmoil. Not only were we created for peace with God, but we were also created to have peace with others. You see, when I don't have peace with God, then I don't have peace from within, and then in turn, I don't have peace with others. Listen, it's very hard for me to live at peace with others when our lives are marked with conflict and with a strained relationship to God. It's just hard. I don't think anyone in this room lived this year, month, probably even today, just conflict-free, or you're lacking peace today. It's really amazing how all around us is unrest, right? You look at our world, you watch the news for 5 minutes, and you just see unrest all around us. All around us is conflict. There's no peace. There's brokenness with God, which leads to brokenness within, which leads to brokenness in our relationships with others. Listen, we can look at our community and see just the brokenness in our community. The song that the angels sang is really a song that captures the human dilemma, right? Just a reminder, but most of you already know this, but Jesus didn't come on a political mission to establish his earthly kingdom. He didn't come on an educational mission to correct our worldview. He actually honestly didn't come on a religious mission just to make us do religious things, you know? Jesus' mission was much more than that. And a lot of us don't understand that, and when we don't understand that, then we really don't understand his mission. If I have a glory and a peace problem, then what my problem is a heart problem. My heart isn't so much my relationship or my situation, but my problem is my heart. You know, David gets it right in Psalms when he prays, create in me a clean heart, O God. That is what we need. That is what we need to change. We need a new heart. And the prophecies of the coming of Christ are very clear that he's coming to address this problem. It says, I will give them a new heart, and I will take their heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh. That is God's work. He takes our heart of stone and he turns life into them, or brings life into them. Now, the heart that we used to live for our own glory can now, because he's breathed life into it, can then in turn and now start to live for him and for his glory because he's changed us, right? But it's only until he changes our heart that we can actually start living the way that he created us to live. That's how we can recapture his creation, is that he makes us new, and now with his spirit, we can begin to live in the way that he designed us to live. So in my everyday life, there will be something that would motivate me that would, for me, would be bigger than my circumstances. It would be bigger than my wants. It would be bigger than my needs, that my heart would be captivated by God so much that I would seek His glory and not my own, which is the mission of Jesus, right? His mission is to capture our hearts, to create a new heart within us. That's why He came. And that's the announcement that the angels brought, that Jesus came to bring glory and peace to us now. Not for our glory, but for His glory. Listen, it's not okay for the masses around us on earth to be living without the peace of God. It's just not okay for that. It's not okay that the people who live in our community live without the peace of God. It's not okay that most of the people in the U.S. and in the world today are living without the peace of God. It is not okay because the epicenter of the human existence is a relationship with God. We were created for that relationship. As you are in your community, you realize how many people don't understand that they're missing that peace with God. And the reality is, it ought to make us sad to an extent. It ought to make us sad that there are people all around us that are lacking peace with God in their relationship. And if we ever feel comfortable from within that, okay, we're comfortable with the people not having peace with God, then we need to have our hearts re-examined to say, what is missing in my heart that I'm okay with people not having that peace in their relationship? Is it not a tragedy that there are people who live their whole lives with living for this teeny little glory that will never really satisfy them? It's a tragedy when we don't care enough about that peace that they can have, that we've experienced, that we don't care enough to tell them about it. And so God sent His Son, the Savior of the world, to come fix our hearts. You hear the word Savior, and what that means is that you don't need a Savior unless you can't fix it yourself, right? Like, we only need a Savior if there's a problem that we can't fix ourselves. Like I don't need a plumber if I can fix the issue in my house, right? I need a plumber if I can't. Well, I only need a Savior if there's something I can't fix, and there's definitely something in each and every one of our lives that we can't fix. A Savior comes to fix what is broken. And these words really do define our need, and they define the Christian mission. But here's another thing that they do. They define for us the price of the mission, right? It really is captured in the final phrase. It says, peace among those with whom He is pleased. Another way to translate that is this: peace on Him His favor is placed, or peace to those to whom His grace is given. You see, the only hope of peace is grace. And that is the vehicle for grace is actually death. The stolen glory, the shattered peace that left us all guilty because we're living for ourselves rather than living for God. You know, we wanted to be God in our lives. We didn't want to have to submit to Him. And rather than honoring God, we worshiped His creation more than we ever worshiped. We worshiped Him. And so we don't fully have a comprehension of what the baby in the manger means unless you know that the baby came to be a lamb. And here was the plan, that Jesus would come, all of His desires, all of His actions would be perfect. His responses in every situation were perfect. They were sinless. He did exactly what God wanted Him to do. He lived ultimately for the glory of God in every situation that He lived. And He lived it for His behalf, and He lived it for our behalf. And He would live the life that we couldn't live. And on the cross, that He would bear our penalty and face the rejection of the Father, so that if we believed in Him, we wouldn't have to face that. Jesus would be able to give you the upward peace that we so desperately need, and in turn would give us inner peace and outward peace. Because the only way for us to have peace in this world is for everybody to have an upward peace. Because the reality is that our relationships out here can't be fixed unless our relationship with Him is fixed. He came willingly. He came with all knowledge. He knew the price that He would have to pay for us, the penalty that needed to be paid for us. and he came anyways. That he must die and he must live, and so that we can be raised out of the sinfulness and the sin that so captures our hearts today. And that we would no longer live for our own glory or for the glory of something that he created, but we would now live for his glory. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth with whom he is pleased. If you've been thinking, dear my servant, if you're being honest with yourself, you've probably thought that you've probably not given God the glory that he so desperately deserves, right? There are times in your life where you just don't give him the glory that's needed in your life, and you've probably sought it for yourself or for something or someone else. And if you were being honest, you would have to admit that you have a peace problem as well, right? Even though you may have given your life to Christ and maybe you ultimately have peace with God for eternity, maybe you've strayed from him and maybe you're not as at peace as you should be in your relationship with him even today, which in turn creates an inner peace problem within you and maybe creating an outward peace problem with those you have community with. But it just doesn't stop there. And maybe you need to admit at times that you don't care about your peace problem or about the peace problem in other people's lives as much as you should. And so the work of that grace is needed by us this morning as much as it ever has been needed. We need the grace to remind us each and every day of the grace that's been given to us so that then we can in turn to go and share that grace with others. About a baby that was born, but he wasn't just a nice little cute baby that was born. I'm sure he was at that moment. But he came to be the Lamb. And that's what this announcement tells us, that he came to restore the glory that God, that we were created for, and to fix the peace problem that was broken in the garden. That's what this baby came to do. And that's what we need to share with others. The grace of life lived, the grace of death offered, so that we may live for his glory. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those whom he is pleased. That's the announcement of Advent, that this baby would come and bring peace to our relationship with God again. But that peace doesn't stop with our relationship with God, but it extends to ourselves and to others as well. So the question is, have you been in turmoil this Christmas season? Are you dealing with personal relationships that have been broken in your life? There's someone who came to restore that peace in your life and to restore peace inside of you and to restore peace outside of you as well in those relationships. So the question is, do you know him? Do you know the one who came to restore the peace that had been broken because of our sin? And if not, I'm urging you to believe in the one who came to restore that peace. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the grace that's been given to us. Father, we thank you that you came to do, Father, what we couldn't do. You came to fix our problem, which was our hearts. And Lord, we pray that today, Lord, we know our hearts are not giving you the glory like you deserve. Father, I pray that our hearts, you would create in us a new heart to where we would now live for your glory and not our own. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here today that has not given their life to you, and Lord, this was new news to them, Father, about them having a peace problem with you and needing that to be fixed, Father, that, Lord, that today that they will give their life to Jesus because of what he's done for them. And, Father, we just pray today, Lord, that all of our hearts would be we wouldn't be glory seeker for ourselves, Father, but we would seek your glory above anything else in his life, because that's the most important. And we ask these things in your son's name. Amen.